Tulip Mania in Tulip Trading Part 2. The tulips bought or sold by tavern traders were very rarely of the superbly fine varieties. Bulbs sold in the inns were second rank at best, and then later, as demand rose even for those, they became scarce, and the local colleges then started to deal in the least coveted and most common varieties of tulips. These tulips were known as fordus, or rags, or to put it more politely, as gemengud, which is common goods. They were unicolored or poorly variegated tulips that were often descendants of the earliest varieties to reach the United Provinces. But being long established and beneath the notice of the richer dealers, they were readily available by the end of 1636. The rags were sold not by the ace, but by the basket, and the baskets were weighed out usually in half a pound to 1 pound groups. In florist slang, they were often called pound goods to distinguish them from piece goods that were sold individually by the ace or by the thousand aces. A 1 pound basket might contain as many as 50 to 100 bulbs, and so a single one of these tulips, even at the height of the mania, would have been priced within the reach of all but the poorest of traders. The hundreds of novice florists who flocked to the bulb trade in the fall and winter of 1636 to 1637 generally began by dealing in small quantities of pound goods, and the crazy inflation that took place in the prices of these bulbs is a better indicator than any other of the vigor of the tulip trade and the hold that the mania was quickly exerting over the inn colleges. A parcel of one of the cheapest pound goods, the Giel Kronen, which cost as little as 20 guilders in September-October 1636, cost 1,200 guilders by the end of January 1637. The more popular Switzers, which was a dull Bizarden variety, came to the market in the fall of 1636 at 60 guilders per pound. By January the 15th, 1637, the price was 120 guilders per pound. In January the 23rd, it was 385 guilders per pound. February the 1st, 1,400 guilders per pound. And on February the 3rd, the tulip peaked at 1,500 guilders per pound. Remarkable though the tulip history has been to this point, it was the December 1636 through January 1637 period that the bulb craze reached its peak and tulip trading turned into tulip mania. When a person moves to make it clear that they want to make a deal, they're in the taverns, okay? There are two methods of trading that are employed. One is, and which one you use depends on whether you are buying or selling. Either way, the trader chosen to be the secretary of the college will make a note of all transactions, and each and every deal means the donation of Wiskopsgeld, which is wine money, to the seller. Method number one, met de boorden, with the boards, was the one used by those who wanted to buy. Wood-backed slates would be given to both the buyer and the seller, and the florist who wished to buy would then write down the price he was willing to pay on his slate board, but would choose a price between the actual value. The seller would then write his price down, and his, of course, would be higher than the bulb's value. The two bids would pass to intermediaries that were nominated by the two men, and they would mutually agree on what they considered to be a fair price. This would usually fall somewhere between the two slates, but not necessarily in the middle. The compromise price would be written on the two slates, and the boards then passed back to the two florists. At this point, the bulb buyer and the bulb seller had the option of either accepting or rejecting the arbitration. They accepted by letting the price stand. At that point, the transaction was concluded, and the purchase price was noted in the registry. The buyer then was expected to pay a commission of half a stuver to a guilder of the purchase price. If the agreed-to price was 120 guilders or more, the commission was fixed at the price of 3 guilders. And this was wine money. But if either buyer or seller did not want the deal to go through, he would signal his refusal by rubbing off the compromise price on his slate. If both rubbed the price off, the deal is just off. If only one rubs the price off, he has to pay the price, plus a small fine. So, Met de Boorden system offered an incentive to trade. The second method was known as Inyet Oei, or the little O. Today, in Dutch slang, this actually stands for someone pulling your leg. But to initiate a sale during tulip mania, it referred to a portion of a rough diagram that the secretary of the college would draw to keep track of the bidding. So this is basically an auction. When selling in the little O, a figure was sketched on the slate of each member of the college. A florist who wanted to sell bulbs would write in the small O at the bottom of the diagram, his number. That would be the number of stuivers he was prepared to donate as a commission or a bounty to the buyer, usually between 2 and 6 stuivers, the cost of a round or two of drinks. Interested florists would then offer what they thought the tulips were worth. The secretary kept track of the bids by noting the highest offer in a top semicircle of the diagram, which would be in 1,000. And at the bottom of the diagram, that number would be in another O, and that would be the hundreds amounts, and units underneath the vertical line that was going through both the top and the bottom O. And underneath this diagram, at the end of the bidding, secretary would then put 3 lines through the diagram on his board. And then once the 3rd line was drawn, he would surround the entire drawing with a big O. Now, each line would basically represent going once, going twice, sold, and then the circle around it. That would end it. This would conclude the auction, and the seller then had the option to accept or reject the highest bid. But if he refused it, he still had to pay the wine money. So this method actually placed a premium on accepting a decent bid. So what does the tavern inn system provide or do? Well, first of all, it does allow for a place for business to go on all year, because, you know, most of the time the bulbs are sitting in the ground. And if you've you don't have a place like this, well, you don't have as much business taking place. This also gave traders something to do during the winter, as well as making sure that the local establishment had plenty of wine and beer and everything, and kept everybody, shall we say, lubricated to purchasing. But it did have a significant problem. First of all, it failed to check whether their members actually had the money to cover their debts. Because remember, the person who owned the bulb had sold it to someone. That person may have been selling it to somebody else, and it may have changed multiple times. And that money is going to have to show up when it's time to pick the bulb up. And fortunately, the gentleman who made the first sale does not necessarily know who that is. And a lot of people would assume that, oh, I'll buy this bulb and then I'll sell it and make more. But it's some point that doesn't happen. The other thing is it obviously encouraged unbridled speculation. Now, that's pretty easy to do when the prices were going up, like the ones that I quoted, up and up and up. I think you could find an analogy to this in the United States stock market prior to its collapse in 1929. It was going up, you know, in that time you could buy stock on 10% of the price on margin. And since everything was going up, you just buy more than you really needed. And then when it starts going down and you try to sell, it collapses and you lose everything. Well, that's exactly what is happening here. Price is going up, the price is going up, the price is going up. And the next time we come here, price is not going to go up. Now, the sources for this: The Tulip by Pavord, The Book of the Tulip by Hall, The Revolt of the Netherlands by Guile, and Tulip Mania by Dash. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.